Good morning. 00 hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Cloudy. 66 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 67 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 67 degrees. WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Mostly cloudy. 66 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Partly cloudy. 65 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Clear. 63 degrees. Good morning. 07 hundred hours. Fog. 62 degrees. WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
AMA CAD mobile monitoring.
Whiskey 8 Foxtrot Foxtrot Romeo mobile and monitoring.
WHFRR from AMA CAD. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. And how are you on this fine day? And by the way, your signal is doing incredible, the best I've ever heard it.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, yours as well. Now I'm stuck in stop-and-go traffic. So I'm on 127 just south of 69, somewhere between 69 and Lake Lansing Road. Beautiful morning. Sun's out and not too warm and muggy this morning. How are you?
Currently sitting at one of the traffic lights in the county, waiting for it to turn green.
Yeah, isn't it interesting that you always catch you catch all the red lights when you need to get somewhere?
Yeah, that seems to be true. Thankfully, though, I live in a mostly rural area. Most of the driving I do is to a rural area, so I don't really encounter too many of them.
Well, that's good. That certainly makes all the difference. Probably gets a little more hectic as you get closer to work, I would imagine.
Not really. I mean, the way to work is surrounded by cornfields.
Man, I wish I had that luxury. Yeah, I drive in from a rural area, and then the traffic picks up and picks up, and they're doing some major overpass work that happens to be right on my path to work. They're literally destroying two freeway overpasses and rebuilding them, and the project is supposed to take until December of 2025. And it just so happens that the overpass construction zone is right where I need to go.
Yeah, I've been there before, but I know how bad Lansing traffic is. I was just there Saturday hanging out with my friend from Okemos, and yeah, it kind of tested my patience a little bit.
Yeah, there definitely is a lot of construction around these parts, and I'm sure probably happening all over the state right now. But man, I know the roads need to be fixed, but it doesn't have to be done all at once.
I know I got to go down to the city every Sunday and Wednesday for church, and they shut down two of the roads I need to get down there. So now it's added 5 to 10 minutes to my drive, which is already a 30-minute drive down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we actually, on Sunday, we go, our church is kind of like the other way. It's in Ithaca, which is a decent drive. It's highway, and it's mostly rural, except that they're doing construction on 127 right now. They're rebuilding the stretch from M57 to Ithaca, and I think they're repaving all of that. So it gets kind of interesting coming back with all the traffic coming back from up north.
I got to drive from Lapeer to Pontiac every Sunday, and then I go down to Clarkston as well. And Clarkston's worse. That's where all the construction is. Pontiac, I can usually get there in about 45, almost 50 minutes.
Wow, that's quite a drive. Whereabouts do you go to church?
I don't know the neighborhood, but it's more towards the southeast corner of Pontiac. So it's close. It is somewhat close to downtown. I can see downtown when I'm driving by because there's houses down there and they all block my view. But yeah, I'm in the streets down there. It takes about 40 minutes to get there, but I like it. If it wasn't worth it, I would not drive the 40, 45 minutes it takes to get to Pontiac.
Yeah, I hear you. I've been through Pontiac, and it's not. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not fun. I mean, it's a nice city, but yeah, it's just you know, anywhere you start to get around Metro Detroit, it's kind of tough to get through. My son marched in the downtown Detroit parade there last Thanksgiving for high school band. His band was in the parade, and we made sure that we reserved our parking spot downtown well in advance. So we got there early in the morning, and surprisingly, it was not hard getting in there at all. I guess you know, we got there pretty early before you know, a lot of people started showing up, and really was not congested.
Yeah, sometimes it pays to get there early so you know you're ahead of everybody else. It becomes a problem, though, when everybody else has the same thought as you did, and then they just move the congestion back a couple hours because everyone got there at the same time, thinking the exact same way you did.
Yep, that's true. I guess we were either energetic that morning or everybody else was lazy. I don't know which one it was, but yeah, we made sure that we were on the road by, oh, I don't know, 4:30, 5 o'clock, make sure we got down there in plenty of time. I did miss the turnoff onto the lodge from 696 because they had half of that block, and it was dark out, and they didn't really have much in the way of lighting on the freeway, so and the signs, the exit signs were on the other side of the freeway that was under construction. And we were, like, doubled up in the westbound lanes. They had east and westbound traffic going both ways, so we totally missed the exit sign. But thanks to the Waze lady, we figured it out. Sometimes the Waze lady saves the day.
I remember when I went out to Nebraska for my one cousin's college graduation, I think, and my other cousin's high school graduation. And the state capitol there, it does not have a lot of people, but you put anything going on in the stadium, I was like, how do all these people fit? The roads were just absolutely jammed full of cars, and I'm like, this only happens a few times a year, whether it's a sporting event or something like this, and Lincoln will just get completely backed up, especially around the stadium. It's a big stadium for a city in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, they probably didn't take that into account. They figured maybe there weren't going to be as many people as there are, but yeah, I can imagine, you know, a city that probably normally isn't, you know, doesn't experience that kind of traffic. They're just not prepared for it.
I read a stat once, and I can't remember exactly, but I think during sporting events, that city swells to, it basically adds on its population and just fans or something. I don't know, it adds on a crazy number of people. And there is a crazy number of people there for the graduation, like I said, and it was also very hot. And one of the head guys at the school, he looked like he was just going to class on the stage because he was wearing full academic attire, and yeah, he spoke for a while, and it looked like he was going to collapse. It was so hot.
Yeah, I bet. It just sounds like, the heat and the congestion and everything, I hear the worst city in the country for traffic is Atlanta. Everything I hear about that is just, I don't know what it is, the congestion or whatnot, but it's just nuts there.
Yeah, I watched a skit on Facebook, and they were basically the guy was going through all the states and basically acting out the stereotypical drivers of each state. No, the driving tests for each state based on the stereotypical drivers. And when he got to Georgia, he's like, okay, that completes the rural Georgia driving test. Now we got the Atlanta Georgia driving test. And he was playing the part of both the instructor and the testee, and he just jumped out of the car.
I would too, probably, if I was in this situation. That's funny. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that Michigan drivers, we have our habits too. It's interesting. I don't know. I just, and maybe I'm just getting old, but I think 40 years ago, drivers were considerably more courteous than they are now.
Yeah. Well. Anyways, I hate to cut this short, but I am in the parking lot of work right now, so. I'm going to send have peaceful rest of your drive into work with all the traffic there. KM880-73 from Whiskey 8, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, Romeo. I will talk to you later. I am clearing your final.
Good morning. 0800 hours.
Whiskey 8, Foxtrot, Romeo, Romeo, Kilo 8, Alpha, Delta, 73. Have a good morning. Enjoy work. I'm just about there myself. Just got on Trowbridge Road here off 127, so I'm in the home stretch. So be there soon, hopefully, barring any roadblocks. Doesn't look like there are any. But 73, enjoy your day, and we'll catch you soon. KM8, BAD, clear.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Sunny. 69 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 1000 hours. Sunny. 72 degrees. WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good morning. 1100 hours. Sunny. 75 degrees. Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Sunny. 77 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Mostly cloudy. 78 degrees.
KE8OOK Mobile. Will be northbound on 75 and monitoring. KE8OOK Mobile will clear this frequency.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Mostly sunny. 79 degrees. WHCMN repeater in Guilford. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Mostly sunny. 81 degrees.
KAEPL Mobile. KAVHL monitoring. KAVHL KEHCB Sago. How you doing this afternoon? Is it raining where you are?
Ah, blue sky and sunny. High UV though.
Yeah, we're in Lapeer, and it just got done raining. It was a pretty good rain for just a short period, though.
I had rain during the nighttime up here. I haven't seen none since I've been awake, though.
Whereabouts are you at?
In Saginaw, off from 675 and I-75.
Wow, very nice. We're all the way in Lapeer, Michigan. That's quite a 69 in Lapeer is where we're at, and that's a little distance from here to Saginaw. That's awesome.
I-69. Yeah, that's the interstate that heads towards East Lansing, if I ain't mistaken.
Yes, that's correct. We got I'm using a ICOM 5100A, and we've only had our license, my wife and I have only had our license for almost a year.
What class license you got?
We're just techs. We're going to be studying for our general here pretty soon.
You don't mind me asking, what are you using the study for, the general?
It's an AARL book, I believe.
You have an iPhone or Android?
We have iPhones, and we have used the online thing where it'll ask you questions. But we found it better to study the book and then go online and take the test.
Well, there's an app called Ham Radio Exam General. It's 100% free. You could study the question pool. You could take quizzes on the pool, and you could take practice exams. It's 100% free and very accurate. I used it to take all my exams. So if you want something to test yourself on while reading the book, I highly recommend it.
Yeah, that's the ham radio study. That's what we use for our tech license, and that was really good. And it basically tells you the areas that you lack in, which is cool. It's a good resource, for sure.
Yeah, out of all the apps, that's my favorite. Do you take your exams in person at a club, or did you do them online?
We did ours in person. We joined the Lapeer ham radio club that's here in Lapeer.
Are you going to take just your general, or are you going to take your general and extra together? There's a lot of crossover between those two.
Well, I think right now we're just going to concentrate on the general. But, yeah, I'd love to be an extra, of course. But, you know, you got life and things happen and things to do. And, yeah, well, eventually I want to take the
the general, but, or the extra. But we're just going to concentrate on our general now.
All right. I wish you the best of luck on your exam when you get to it. And if you decide to do it online, I recommend hamradio.org. And when they choose you which VEC you want to go through, I recommend GLARG, Greater Los Angeles Amateur Radio Group. They're actually a little bit, about 10 bucks cheaper, too. They got exams going 3 times a week in the afternoon, and pretty much right after church on Sundays. So lots of opportunities to fit your schedule.
I take it you're an extra. How long have you been in the ham radio business?
I started in 2021, got my general and extra at the same time in 2022, became a VE the same year, and the following year I joined GLARG, and that's pretty much it. Every now and then I log on and help observe exams and sign paperwork for people when they pass.
Well, thank you for doing that. That's awesome. So we've only had our license almost a year, and we're planning on getting our general. We already got the book, and then we'll start, going online to AM study, and we'll get it. I'm sure we'll get it.
I'm sure you will. So, have you been on a fox hunt yet?
I don't even know what that is, but no, I haven't been on one of those, but it sounds interesting for sure.
Well, they take a low-power transmitter, home-built, bought, don't matter. There's lots of ways. They hide it somewhere, depending on the club, depends on how they do it. Either they'll do it like at a park and you have to go find it using a Yagi and a radio or whatever type of antenna setup you choose to go with. And some places like to do larger hunts and they'll use the township or a large section of a city, and the those ones uses a higher power transmitter, and so you end up driving around town following the signal. So, all depends on the club. Saginaw Club did one this year. They did it at a park. They hid it out in the wooded area of the park on the trails. So, all depends. It's a fun experience. It teaches you how to use your radio and your antenna to home in on a broadcast. It's mainly for finding signals that are interfering with the amateur radio band and tracking down pirate stations. And having fun.
Penetrate.
That's awesome. We will mention that to our club. That is amazing. That's cool.
Yeah, they got foxes on 2 meters and 70 centimeters band as well. I built myself a 70 centimeter one and a 2 meter one. The 70 centimeter one's a smaller one. I used the Beofang for my transmitter on the big one and run the it through attenuator to kill the signal. Still waiting for my parts for the attenuator. It's definitely a fun practice and thing. Skills definitely come in handy I sat down and turned on my computer and hooked up to an SDR, and I found a carrier on the 70 centimeter band that wasn't there the day before, and it turned out something I ordered had a remote control to it, was defective, and it was broadcasting on the amateur radio band with a very powerful carrier constant. And I went through the whole house tracking the signal using my radio, and I eventually found it, unplugged the battery, and discovered I had a defective remote. it was one of those little tiny cheap ones that came from China that runs on a button, so... oh well.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can.
Wow, now, we haven't got to that part yet, of building stuff, but, I mean, I'm learning a little bit each day. We just put this, we have a base radio in the house, and that is an ICOM 2730, and we got a big, about 47 feet in the sky. I bought a flagpole, and then I put a diamond antenna on the top, and she's really nice. Everybody's like, wow, it's crystal clear. And so then we finally put this one in my truck, and that's what we're on right now. We're almost to Davison now.
Diamonds are very good antennas. Since you're in Lapeer, you should look into Fusion. It's a Yaesu digital mode. Doesn't require no programming, no co-plugs. It's just turn it on and go. And because there's a huge Fusion network down that way. It's called the Eastern Michigan Link. It connects all the way down from Ohio up to the Upper Peninsula. It pretty much cuts the state in half because the other half has the Western Michigan Analog FM group, and they got their own network, and they refuse to incorporate digital for some reason. But the two great big networks there.
What was that called?
They're interlinked.
Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
DHL. What is that called again? The Michigan, what, Fusion?
KEHCB. Eastern Michigan Link. They do have a website. Tells you the frequencies for all the nodes in the state that you could try to get in on. All you need is a Fusion Yaesu radio, and you can get into the link. And I forgot to mention the third biggest link in the state of Michigan you happen to be on is the W8CMN network. They have a website, and they have a list of every repeater on their network, and you get into any of those FM nodes, and you're connected through their entire network as well. I don't know how far out they go, because I haven't looked myself, but it's a pretty big link. I know it goes down to Lansing and probably 100 miles north of me. So it's a pretty big network.
Yeah, we will definitely look into that. Kilo 8 Echo Papa Lima, mobile.
Go ahead, mobile station.
KEHCL. We must be losing you, so we're almost to our destination, and you have a great day. It's nice talking to you. 73 clear.
All right, 73 KEHCL.
This is KEHCL mobile. KEHCB. This is KEH Echo Papa Lima.
KEA Echo Papa Lima, this is KEA TV.
I'm in Davison right now, and I was hearing what you were saying about the links and all of that. The
WHCMN repeater system is very large, and I completely agree. And the Flint repeater, the repeater that I'm on right now is tied into that link, so it's a pretty good link for sure. And it's both on 2 meter and 440 as well.
So how's the weather in Davidson?
Oh, not too bad. Bright and sunny.
So you're at QTH or are you in transit somewhere?
No, I'm mobile. I'm at the corner of Lapeer Road and M15, right by 69, headed north, headed home, so. But I'm mobile right now.
Where's your QTH?
I live up in the Otisville area.
Down by Ann Arbor?
Say again?
You're at KEA EPL?
Negative. My call sign is Kilo 8 Echo Papa Lima.
Okay, I got it now. Thank you. You're a technician?
That would be correct. Live up in north, just north of Flint, actually north of Davidson, Michigan. There's a small town called Otisville. That's where I'm. That's where I live right now.
So how you been? What's your good today?
I'm doing pretty good. No complaints or anything like that. Just doing some errands. I was out of town. Starting at the first of the month, and I got back into town yesterday, so I'm catching up on some errands that I need to do, and you know, just doing general stuff for myself and errands and stuff. But other than that, not a whole lot.
So how do you like amateur radio since you joined?
Oh, I love it. Been doing amateur radio for feels like forever. Originally got my call sign back in 2006. So I've been a ham for a long time. My previous call was KDADD. Has been retired from me. And I go by KDADDL now. So, but yeah, I love amateur radio. It's been wonderful. And definitely wanted to continue on the hobby.
Congratulations on getting a call sign without the echo in it with your initials. I tried to get 1x2 and I just couldn't do it.
Well, I put in for a vanity and they gave it to me, so no problem on that end. So, but yeah. You know, sometimes you just gotta, you know, try it one more time, or try a different couple of different combinations, and you know, you'll get it eventually.
I did, but I had to settle on having an echo between the K and the A for mine. I wanted to get a 1x2 with my initials; it just wasn't available. But I found a 2x2 that was available. I had to settle for that. But, yeah, I've been a lot happier if I could have got the shorter one.
Well, it happens. But, yeah, I do a lot of analog, and I also do D-Star Digital. I don't have Fusion or DMR, but I do D-Star, and it's, for me it works pretty good as well. So, but the WHCMN link is by far probably the best link I've used, and I've done a lot of traveling, so it's a pretty good system.
Have you thought about trying 6 meters or 10?
I thought about it. I don't have the equipment for that right now, but, you know, it's something I've thought about, but, you know, I've got other things going on as well that I got to take care of as well, and, you know, but, you know, I've thought about it, but just haven't done it quite yet.
Yeah, same here. I don't have an antenna set up for it. Only antenna I got is 20 meters. And that's it. I used to have a long wire, but the balun went bad. The company I bought it from didn't weather seal it, so moisture and water got into it and just screwed it up.
Good afternoon. 1600 hours. Sunny. 81 degrees.
Oh, I completely understand that 100%. I don't have a typical base station anyway. Myself, I have the equipment for it, just don't have it set up yet. And I'm hopefully going to be working on that soon. But, I'm not going to make any promises, but, you know, I do the best I can with what I can. You know, that's where I'm at right now, so. But, I being away for 3 weeks has kind of set me back. I got chores I got to do, I got family to do, but I do the best I can.
You've been away for 3 weeks? What have you been away doing?
Oh, I went on a vacation out to Pennsylvania, and me and my girlfriend, we had a wonderful time out there, and came back last night. But, just visiting family and friends and doing some sightseeing and having some fun, but, you know, just doing what we've got to do.
Since you had your license, have you been on any fox hunts?
I have not been on a fox hunt. It is something I'm interested in doing. However, very, very closely related to that, I was in the back in 2005, I was in the Civil Air Patrol, and we've done things similar to fox hunt. It's not really a fox hunt. It's looking for downed aircraft. They have an ELT or an emergency locator transmitter. It basically is the same thing as a fox hunt using a Yagi antenna and direction finding and all of that. So I've done it from that aspect, but, you know, that was more training and stuff like that from that standpoint. But I've done similar stuff, and that was fun when I did that. They set up an ELT about 150 miles away, and we'd go find it. So, definitely a lot of work doing that.
You had to travel 150 miles to find the transmitter?
Well, for us, for the Civil Air Patrol, it's a different scenario. What we were training for is we have a downed aircraft. And this is all simulated, but there's a downed aircraft in the middle of nowhere, and we're at the local airport, and so we have ground teams and vehicles looking for the ELP signal, and we also have two or three aircraft also looking for that ELP signal, trying to pinpoint the location of the simulated ELP. In an emergency situation, we would go out and actually look for a downed airplane that went missing. So for us, you know, yeah, 100 miles sounds like a little bit of a stretch, but when you're doing tuning for a downed aircraft and you're simulating what it would really be like, it's not fair having it in your backyard. But, yeah, you want to have that experience. You want to have that training. You want to have that work that you have to do. But that's how we did it.
Yeah, basically a fox hunt, but on a way larger scale.
Oh yeah, we would several other people set up very similar to, well, at the time that I did it, was set up very similar to the U.S. Air Force, and we would have the entire Michigan do a training exercise in the fall. It's called Operation Wolverine, and you would have groups coming all together from all over the state just to do this practice and this training. And, you know, I remember going to one that was up in, Grayling, at the Grayling Airport there is where we set up. And we had 6 airplanes, 17s, hundreds of other support office, support personnel and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's basically a fox hunt, but on a huge scale. And, you know, this is training for us, but we're training so that we can save people's lives and stuff like that. And it's definitely a lot of work.
How long does the event last?
For us, Operation Wolverine, which we've done every year, is like you get there on a Friday afternoon, evening, and get yourself set up, and then you got 2 days of training. So you're out of the. By the time you come home, you're exhausted. Believe me.
I'd be exhausted just from the drive.
Yeah, it is very similar to a fox hunt, but we're getting trained to do things, and it's not just looking for the ELT. You know, once we find it, we have simulated crash, simulated victims. So we do first aid, CPR training, field training. I mean, it's not just one part. I mean, the ELT part's just one component. There's other components as well, and you got air teams, you got ground teams, you got a lot of people and logistics and comms and everything. So the Civil Air Patrol uses frequencies that are above the 2 meter band, 148 megahertz, which are allocated to them. And they do a lot of work, and they got their own repeater setups and stuff too. So, you know, like I said, it's set up very much like the Air Force, and they got a lot of equipment. And you know, this is not just a Michigan thing. This is they got groups all over the 50 states plus Puerto Rico. So it's a big event.
Have you been on a non-simulated run yet since you joined?
No, I haven't. I got back. I got out of the Civil Air. I left the Civil Air Patrol back in 2008. Haven't been back into it, but you know, I don't have any desire to go back into the Civil Air Patrol at this point. But I've thought about it, but. I haven't been on any actual emergency runs or anything, but I've done a lot of, what I concentrated was the air crew, being an air crew member, and communications. And to be honest, that's actually what led me into amateur radio, is knowing that amateur radio had more than what Civil Air Patrol had. So that was kind of my lead-in, but, communications for Civil Air Patrol for a few years, and that's kind of my beginnings.
Hey, Subi. So are you a member of the Lapeer Club?
I was a member for a while. I'm thinking about rejoining here for membership and all of that. But when I started amateur radio, I was a member of the Lapeer Club for a long time, and you know, I know Scott, and Mike and Kevin and all of those guys. So they're a really good group. So anyway, I'm home. I'm at my QTH. So I will, if you don't mind, I'll talk to you later. 78 EPL.
All right, K8 EPL, K8CB, 73. And you enjoy the rest of your day.
Good afternoon, 1700 hours, sunny, 82 degrees. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford. Hours, sunny, 82 degrees.
KHSCB Mobile, East Al Washington.
KFABRD. KFABRD, is there anybody listening to this repeater? Wanted to see how I'm coming into it.
KFABRD, monitoring. High five. Copying me now? There's K-I-5. Are you copying me now? I guess this thing just is nothing.
Good evening, 1900 hours, partly sunny, 80 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the WHCMN repeater in Guilford.
W8RQS. Good evening. Good evening to you as well. How do you sound, by the way? Well,
little scratchy, but not too bad. How am I coming in? Because I'm at what I think is a really long distance. I'm in Grand Ledge.
I can hear you just fine, no problem.
Oh, good. Is this actually the Edmore repeater?
Not that I'm aware of. This is a linked repeater system. What repeater are you wanting to come in at?
Well, I didn't know that the one I dialed in was a linked one. The one I programmed in shows as Edmore, or as located in Edmore, 14788,000.
I'd have to look at the system and see where it's, see what's going on. What other town are you near?
I'm Lansing, Grand Ledge, Charlotte's not far away, Ionia isn't too far away.
Okay, you might be coming in on the Lansing, repeater. I'm not sure. I'd have to look at the info on the computer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll have to look into that. all I know is the channel is out there. The memory that I have it on has always been dead as long as I've had the radio program. So, and when I put up this new antenna, it opened up a whole new world.
Other station, go ahead.
Yeah, Roger, copy that. KDSCV, I'm up here in East Sawas. I got you on the 310 machine out of Guilford, Roger.
Roger that, out of Guilford again. Got another station over by the Lansing area. Coming in on that machine over there. I believe it's probably using the Lansing machine, which is 147280. Not sure if that's what he's using or not, but that's what I got programmed in my radio here.
Roger, copy that.
Yeah,
off to go for a repeater. We'll be standing by and listening.
Roger that, KDETL.
Well, I just realized I didn't properly introduce myself. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Romeo Delta, and my name is Jim.
Oh, nice to talk to you, Jim. Give me a moment here. I'm going to go in the house and I'll fire up the computer and see what info I can find for you.
Yeah, sure thing. Standing by.
Yeah, whatever station that was looking for the repeater, that 14728, that is the Lansing WACMN repeater. KDATM.
Well, thank you. KF8BRD, name's Jim. I didn't think it was a Lansing repeater for some reason. On the data I had when I entered it, it must have said that more, so I don't know.
Hey there, Jim. Yeah, I'm not sure of the history of it myself. I want to say some of these repeaters have been moved around. I know the Guilford repeater used to be up in Quantico City, and I want to say the Lansing one might have been down in Potterville. I might have heard that on the repeater a couple weeks ago. But yeah, I'm not really sure, but that's just, I just pulled that off the website. So that is the Lansing machine, NDATM.
I appreciate the information. Yeah, I know that the Potterville, or one of the Potterville machines moved to Okemos on the WKAR tower. I think there's still a 70-centimeter machine over there in Potterville. I can't be certain of it, but I think so.
Okay, yeah, if you live down that way, you probably know better than me. I used to live in Lansing many years ago, but it's been about 20 years since I've been down that way.
Yeah, I can understand. Yeah, this little dipole I made has definitely widened my eyes here. I built a homemade dual-band dipole, and it came in to do the job.
Yeah, sure, you're definitely making the machine really good. I had the opposite experience. I used to live in the UP, and I lived on top of about a 500-foot mountain, and I had just a little cheap ladder line J-pole for 2 meters, 70 centimeters.
Yeah, fast transmission.
And because of the terrain and where I was at, I could easily get like 90 to 100-mile range out of that, especially to the south. And then I come back down here, and I'm running... I can't remember what antenna. I think it's a Diamond X500, the big, like, 17-foot tall one. And I can barely get about 30 to 40 miles on a 20-foot tower.
I guess that solidifies the saying, location, location, location.
Yeah, for sure. That was really cool spot. And unfortunately, it was a nice house, but living up on top of the mountain had a private road. They wouldn't snowplow. They wouldn't pick up garbage. Couldn't get internet. Other than the house and the radio reception, it was kind of terrible.
My channel was the...
That's funny. Other than the house and the radio reception, that was quite terrible. That's funny.
That's my kind of living, KVHNT.
I think it was an HNT station. Go ahead, take it.
You would say a little up on the mountain. That's kind of my kind of living. I need all that internet and all that stuff. You got Tom here in a mobile on I-75 and I'm getting into the running on the 310 repeater. Yeah, I think they moved this to Gilbert. It used to be Quantico Z, but I live up by Boyne Mountain, if you guys know where that is, Boyne City and that, but I'm up here, probably around the Rose City area on I-75 right now.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, they when it used to be in Quantico C, that was on almost 1,000 foot up on a commercial tower. And I thought that we were going to lose reception when I heard they moved it, but this Guilford machine really has good reception. I'm down in Millington Mobile myself, by about, 20 miles from the machine, and it covers this area really, really well.
Yes, it does. It does very well. I'm surprised after they moved it. Seems to be doing extremely well. I mean, I don't know how many miles from the repeater. I'm probably at least, I'm guessing probably where I'm at right now, about at least probably 50, at least 50 miles from the repeater. I run a 586 on a Magnum out of the truck. It's used to 2980. Does a pretty good job, but I can hear this repeater quite a ways up, so it does a fantastic job. I'll let you back the other guys there. I just wanted to teach you a little bit about living on that mountain, because I live on a two-track. I moved up about 7 years ago from Bertrand Lake, and they have sold their farm down there. I work in Saginaw. And, I live in the boonies, but we do get internet. But I live on a seasonal road. I got to plow it in the winter, keep it maintained in the summer, all the lumping and bumping stuff out of it and all that good stuff. So, but them three guys, all of you guys sound good. So, I'll be listening.
All right, excellent. Sounds good. Yeah, you're a little scratchy, but you're making it just fine. 100% readable, no problem. That's quite a haul from the Rose City area to that machine. So I'm mobile as well. I'm just pulling in my driveway, so I'm also going to sign off here. Nice talking to you, and I think there was Jim in there as well, and one other station I didn't catch his name, but say 73 to everybody, and this is ND8M Mobile. I'll be clear.
73 from K8DPL. Are you still there, Jim? This is K8DPL.
Good evening, 20:00 hours, cloudy, 77 degrees. WHCMN, repeater in Guilford.
CMA, DAD, monitoring. KFATIW. How about you? Station monitoring.
Good evening. 21 hours. Mostly cloudy.
This is Kilo Mike 8, Delta Alpha Delta. Good evening, sir.
Well, good evening. How are you this night?
I'm doing pretty good. Just sitting here at home in St. John's, kind of waiting for the ring to get here. It looks like it's kind of headed this way. I guess they had some rather nasty stuff down there by the Pontiac area not too long ago. How are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. And kind of in the middle, I'm working on a power supply for one of my radios, and I'm basically rebuilding it. But you said you're in St. John's?
That sounds like fun. What kind of rig do you have?
Well, the current one I'm working on right here is for an old Swan. It's a Swan 117, I believe it's a CX. Or actually, I can't remember which way it goes, but it's an old one. The radio itself is an old tuber, and it's kind of a neat thing. I'm kind of just getting into it.
So I don't know if you dropped out there toward the end. It sounds like the carrier kind of locked up for a second. I don't know if it was your mic dropping in and out, or it's just the repeater being weird.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It could be the repeater. I'm talking about the Guilford repeater. I'm up here north of Bay City.
Okay. Yeah, there's a little bit of dropout here and there, but it's pretty solid.
This is a newer radio. The one I'm on right now, it's a Yaesu. It's the 991A. God, I hope it's not a radio.
Yeah, it might just be atmosphere and I don't know, the moisture in the air right now and all that fun stuff. I'm running off the I think it's the McLaren repeater. In South Lansing, either there or somewhere on the north end of town. I'm not sure where this repeater is exactly, but it's one of a couple that I can pretty solidly hit from my house. The other one is the 145.39 that just went up on the WKAR TV tower a couple weeks ago. Man, they got some extra height on that, and that is a big improvement, but that one isn't linked, I don't think. That's just the local Lucidra machine.
I gotcha, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, there are repeaters and antennas and the whole deal going up everywhere, especially in the GMRS world.
Yeah, know. It seems like GMRS is really starting to take off. I got my license actually about a year before I got my ham license, and man, when I first got the GMRS license, there was nobody out there. Of course, I guess, you know, the whole idea behind GMRS is it wasn't intended originally to be like a hobby social type medium. It was more for, I guess, business and point-to-point use. But, damn, you see a lot of new GMRS repeaters going up now, and actually GMRS clubs forming. It seems to really be taking off, especially in the last year or so.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that it don't overtake the ham radios. I can actually see it happening because, you know, you don't have to take any tests or anything like that for it. You know, you just sign up and you got it. You know, you pay your money and you're done. I've got my GMRS license too. I it was in March. I got my technician's license, and when I was applying for that, I also applied for my GMRS, and I got them both in March.
Cool. Yeah, I think a lot of people are doing that these days, that they're going for both. But, you know, there are definite advantages to ham radio that GMRS doesn't offer. I mean, with GMRS, you're pretty much limited to, you know, UHF. And, you know, that's about it. I mean, with ham, you can go 2-meter or HF and, you know, communicate halfway around the world. And that's definitely an advantage that I think is kind of motivating me one of these days to get my general. I've had my my technician for about 2 years, and just, you know, got to get off the stick and take the next step. You know how that goes. K-N-8-D-A-D.
I hear you. I've been kind of working on and off on my general as well. I bought the books, and I've even got some stuff off Amazon. I got the Audible and everything like that, but I just haven't sat down and really got into it. I plan on getting it. I'd like to get it by the end of the year, but I'm not so sure it's going to happen. You know, so much going on right now. This is KFADIW.
Break.
Go break.
I think I heard a station breaking there. Go ahead, please.
KF8AIW, this is K8FHW. Have you got a mic gain on your menu on that radio? You're way overdriving your audio.
I do. Let me check, see where it's set at. How is that? Is that better?
A little bit. Take her down one more notch. Skidded FHW.
KF8AIW. Let's take her down.
Okay, try her again. KF8AIW.
Okay, this is KF8AIW. How's this sounding?
Oh, you just found it?
I was just wondering how am I sounding now?
I think a little better. What do you think, guys?
KFADAD. Yeah, it does sound a bit better.
All right, thanks a bunch. K8FHW clear. I just thought I'd point that out.
KFADAW, much appreciated.
Yeah, mics can be tricky things. When I first started out, I was told that my mic gain was really low, and they said, "Well, just keep your mouth up on the mic." Which I hope I'm not overdriving it, but that's what I tend to do. I'm almost half the time almost eating the mic.
Oh, you're sounding great up here.
thank you. Yeah, you're sounding a little more solid now. I think maybe there's a little interference there, just like some atmospheric stuff with the repeater, like I said, with the booster out and everything. It's just kind of weird. I know there are times when, I can hit a stick from 40 miles away on a good day, and the next day I can't hit the same repeater from 15 miles. It's just weird that way.
Yeah, gotcha. I just cranked it down a little bit more. I don't know if this sounds any better or not.
Leave it there, yeah.
Yeah, definitely sounds good on this end.
Again, the feedback is much appreciated. You don't really know until somebody tells you, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I know that. I was using an old Baofeng handheld on my HT and found out through some feedback that I don't know what happened to it, but it completely lost gain, and I don't know if the element blew out or melted or whatnot, but I just replaced it with another handheld mic, and seems to be working good so far. My handheld is Explorer QRZ1. I got it. I just happened to get my license when they were doing the free hand giveaway in QRZ, and I got the radio for free as part of the new ham promotion or new license promotion or whatever they were doing. I guess I did. It was pretty good timing there. But that will be my rig for doing a Skywarn net if I ever get a chance to participate in one.
Yeah, 10-4. Now I've got a bunch of Baofeng. I got the handheld, so I've got a bunch of those. I've actually got a Yaesu. It's an FT-470. It's an old radio. It's just a dual frequency, 2 meter and 70 centimeter radio. But I don't think it puts out the transmitter. I think it's pretty weak in it. But yeah, and I got a couple of little Chinese radios. So, but I do have this my Yaesu here, and I love this thing. But I'm trying to get these old swans going. I want to get out there. I could do 10 meter out of my Yaesu, but I want to play with the swans. I'm just infatuated with the old tube type radios.
Oh yeah, they are. They're pretty fascinating, and a lot of them are very reliable. I think I honestly believe that there was a time when they built that stuff to last, and not saying that today's radios are trash by any means. I mean, they make some very good ones. I'm on a Yaesu 2600M that I'm in the process of buying from the president of our club, who lent it to me, and basically going to buy and set up the power supply off of him, and Jay pulled it on my roof that he put up for me. But my first was a UV5R, and I still have it. I can't find the charging cradle for it, so it doesn't do it much good, but they are good radios for getting started. I mean, I think Yaesu is, higher quality for sure. I mean, they've been around for a long, long time making these things. But I think, as far as like the Baofengs and the lower priced HTs, they've helped a lot of people get on the air. Because I think that one time, one of the things that it kept a lot of people out of amateur radio with the expense of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do have, I've got other handheld that I really like. It's a Kid Radio H8, I believe it is. And that seems to be a really nice radio. It's 10 watt, and it puts out pretty good. I just picked up another antenna for it. It's a 2.5 gain, dB gain antenna. And, I mean, as soon as I screwed it out, I started hearing people. I don't know how bad the other antenna really was, but, you know, if it was just coincidence that there were people out there.
Hi, guys. W8SO.
Hi, this is KF8AIW.
Yeah, hi, guys. I know you guys are having a lot of technical discussion, and I just wanted to add my two cents. You want to remember 1FM. So there's a bandwidth for the design of FM, and the design is 5 kilohertz on this type of width. There's also a wider version, but for this one, it's 5KC. Now, what you can do when you're adjusting mic gain is you're really adjusting the gain that goes into it before the limiter. So once you hit the limiter, it's over. It's not going to get any wider. And you can make it all sound higher. Excuse me. You can make it all sound hotter by increasing the mic gain, but the mic gain is only doing that. It's just increasing the gain, and it's not going to change the deviation. But if you overdrive the deviation, then it clips out. And nobody on here has clipped out at all, even since the beginning, when somebody said that they sounded like they were hitting it too hard. The deviation's been great all along, so I've been listening along. But anyhow, a lot more to say on all this, but I just wanted to add my two cents.
Oh, hey, anything else, like I say, you just never know how your radio is performing until somebody tells you, you know. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you can't hear what you're putting out.
Roger that. Actually, you can, but you have to monitor it through the repeater, or you can monitor it with another receiver and hear your input directly. But in terms of out of the repeater, you got to listen to the repeater, which means the second antenna. But a lot of people do that. I usually do that. I don't have it on right now, but I usually do listen to myself through the machine. And of course, the other thing to do is put a communications monitor on if you have the opportunity to ever use one, and then you can watch your deviation and the whole thing. So, you know, it's kind of cool. Anyway, everybody sounded good right from the start, and none of the adjustments have made anything different other than the audio gain got too low. But it's not really a big deal. Everybody's doing excellently, so it's not a big deal at all. But just wanted to say something because it's always fun to have a technical discussion. So, you know, that's kind of like the basis of amateur radio. Another reason for the licensure is to limit entry, and that's always been a matter of taking an exam, which was a limiting step to entry, and that supposedly was to increase the technical excellence of amateur radio. You know, that was the original goal. But anyhow, a lot to be said about all this. Good signals all the way around. Everybody's hitting the machine nice and hard. No problems at all.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the input for sure. I'm still, you know, it's been a couple of years, but I'm still very new at this. I've got a lot of things to learn myself, and sometimes I'm not the greatest judge of audience and whatnot, so it's good to hear, you know, some extra input. But yeah, I think everybody sounds pretty good this evening.
Yeah, no, it's been excellent, and a lot of fun to hear guys getting on and being interested in what they're doing and learning about it. It's really nice. It's really a lot of fun. Well, I'm going to let you guys talk, but I'll also listen along. So anyway, a pleasure to hear everyone on, and thank you very much for allowing the interruption. And with that, this is Whiskey 8 Sierra Sierra. Bye-bye, guys.
I think I'm going to hang her up for the night, too. This is KIW, Brian. I'm going to get working on this power supply a little harder. So, I thank all you guys for the chat. I'll have 73, and I'll be clear. KIW.
Guys, double.
Sorry. sorry about that. I'll back off here for a second so I don't double on anyone. Just KMADAD standing by for a second. KMADAD, I wasn't sure if anyone was still there or if everyone cleared out. Nope, not hearing anyone. I guess I'll back out for now and stand by and be monitoring for a bit. 73 to everyone. Great conversation. Hope everyone has a good evening and stay dry. KMADAD will be clear and monitoring.
KMADAD. KATVL. KATVL.
Good evening. 22 hours. Cloudy. 68 degrees. Penetrating the bay like no one else can. This is the W8CMN repeater in Guilford. Good evening, 23 hours, 69 degrees. W8CMN, repeater in Guilford.